got a few Pentecostal songs.
I heard no story how the Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about His groaning of His precious blood
a little Pentecostal. Jesus is our hope.
Amen.
He is our hope.
Shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber and He's come to take my name. Love is my Redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love love is the power where my freedom sought is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Gonna hold my body down when I hear that trumpet sound. I'm gonna rise up out of the crowd where there ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body a liar with a smooth and velvet tongue. Fear is a tyrant, he's always telling me to run. Love is resurrection, and love is a trumpet sound. And love is my weapon, I'm gonna lay my giants down. Gonna hold my body down when there ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down when I hear that trumpet sound. Oh, gonna rise up out of the ground when there ain't no grave. Gonna hold between death and life. There on a tree the Lamb of God was crucified, and he went on down to hell, and he took back every key, and he rose up as a lion. He set in the captives free. Where there ain't no grave that can hold his body down. Where there ain't no grave that can hold his body down when he heard that trumpet sound. Oh, he rose up out of the ground. Where there ain't no that can hold his body down. Oh no, oh no, oh no, there ain't no grave. Oh no, oh no, there ain't no grave. Here's our hope. You walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm grave I'm walking to.
My heart longs for. It's what
long for you. Emptiness in a heart that only Jesus can fill. Some people may not know it, maybe you don't know it, but only Jesus can fill that hole. That void. You've been looking, you've been searching, nothing has joy. Maybe for a little while, but not everlasting, like the joy of the Lord that He can only bring. I long for you. I long for you. I long for you.
As we're singing and worshiping and praising your name. I'm just standing here realizing how undeserving I am. You are holy, holy, holy. We have done absolutely nothing to deserve what you have done for us. Only by your grace and mercy have you chosen to reach down and touch our lives. Only by your love did you choose to leave your heavenly home and walk this earth among us, sinful, wretched people that we are. Only you and your amazing power have the ability to not only forgive but forget. Wrap your arms around us and to say, it's okay. To encourage us. God, how incredible that is. How absolutely, absolutely amazing that is. Lord, help us to remember that this morning. Help us to, Lord, be real about our condition before you this morning and the great and awesomeness that you choose to allow us to be in your presence, to seek your face, to lift up our voice. Not only do you allow it, but you enjoy it. How incredible that is, Lord. Father, your word tells us that when we're in need, we should come before you and pray and seek your face and ask. And Lord, so we take some time to do that this morning as well. Lord, you know the needs that are represented here and online and those that are listening. Lord, you know physically, emotionally, spiritually. Lord, you know exactly what they need, exactly where they're at. And I pray, Father God, while I'm not privy to that information, you know it. And that's the more important thing. I pray that you would touch, you would minister, you would speak to people right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray even this morning as we're lifting our voice and raising our hands and proclaiming your name, Lord, I pray that you would heal bodies, that you would touch people's lives, that you would bring wholeness in the name of Jesus. Lord, I think of Brittany Carrasco this morning and just ask that you would minister to her. Lord, she's dealing with some pain and it's stopping her from getting a good night's sleep. And Lord, would you just speak to her body? Lord, yes, they're going to go to the doctor. They're going to see the doctor. They're going to listen to the doctor. But Lord, there is nothing greater or no doctor that is more that is better than you, Jesus. And so we pray, Lord, this morning that you would touch her, bring healing and wholeness in the name of Jesus. Lord, I continue to pray for Armin and his whole family, Lord, that you would just encourage them this morning. Lord, let your peace be upon them. Let them physically feel your arms wrapping around them and holding them close. Lord, I believe that that's a reality. They could physically feel you, and I pray to that extent this morning. Lord, I pray for all of us that our hearts and minds are open this morning as we hear from your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may know that one of our daughters used to work on Capitol Hill. It was her dream. She loved history and she went to school and got a degree in political science. And she felt like she wanted to be in our nation's capital and she wanted to be a part of the federal government system. And she was actually blessed to see that dream become a reality pretty quickly. After she graduated, she went to work for then Governor Rahner in the state for a little while. And then after that, she moved out to D.C. and took a job in a senator's office and was there for a time. And eventually, she felt like she had done what she wanted to do. She didn't feel like it was an ongoing, long-term desire of hers, so she followed a new dream, a new path, and is doing some other things that she really enjoys now. But because of her residency there, and because we have some other family in that Virginia, D.C. area, I've had the privilege of being in our nation's capital several times over the years. I've taken our kids on their eighth grade trip and, again, spent time there with our daughter and other family members. No matter how many times I've gone to our nation's capital, I still walk away in awe. I still walk away seeing things from a little different perspective or viewing something a little different than I may have seen it before. Of course, when I've gone, I've visited all of those typical places that you would expect to visit. I've been to the Capitol building and been on the tours there. I've been in the Library of Congress and seen the Declaration of Independence. I've been to the National Archives, excuse me, to see the Declaration of Independence. I've been to Ford's Theater. I saw where Lincoln was shot and across the street where he actually passed away. I've also had the privilege of being at a few other, I'll say, more unique places. They're not the places everybody gets to every time they go. I've been to the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, where money actually gets made. I've walked some of those underground tunnels. Yes, they do actually exist. There are underground tunnels between some of the buildings, and I've walked through some of those. I've been inside the Pentagon. I've had the privilege a couple of different times now to be inside the White House and to go on a tour inside, not just walk around the heavily guarded exterior of it. In addition to that, I've been, yes, to all those different war memorials and the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument and all those places. And I've actually been to what I consider one of my favorite places to visit, and you're all going to think I'm crazy, but one of my favorite places to go is Arlington National Cemetery. There's just something about being there that's incredible. I've been to the Eternal Flame. I've seen President Kennedy's grave and the whole Kennedy family. There's a whole section there of Kennedy's. I've been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and have had the privilege of watching the changing of the guard a handful of times. And not only watched that, I actually had the privilege once to be a part of a Q&A, a question and answer session, with one of the sentinels. He was an active sentinel, but he was off duty, of course. Couldn't do it while he was guarding, but they came around back into the amphitheater, and there was a whole group of us there that got to chat with him and have conversation and ask them questions. So it's been interesting as many times as I've been there, and yet with all the places I've been and all the sights that I have seen there, what sticks out to me most can probably be summed up in a word. And it's not a word I'm sure that any of us would expect when we're talking about the nation's capital. But in everything I walk away, I always think about war. War. Mental, emotional, physical, spiritual war. We don't like to talk about war. We don't like to think about war. Certainly not about all of the things associated with war. Sending our kids far away, not seeing some friends or family members come home. We don't like to talk about any of that kind of stuff when it comes to war. But war, folks, has been a part of the human existence ever since the fall of man. It's not something we're ever going to escape, quite honestly. And there's a great deal, if we take the time, that we can actually learn from it. I will say there's something inspiring about standing in front of those different memorials, or even looking across or standing on some of that hollow ground where some of those battles have taken place over the years. I mean, to think you're standing in front of the White House where a couple hundred years ago, British troops burned it down. They set it on fire. The outside structure is still pretty much the same, but the inside was a loss. And it's interesting to stand there. Or to be downtown Gettysburg and to just start envisioning all of these troops marching in different directions, going after one another, willing to die for what they believe in, willing to die for their cause. And of course, standing in Arlington Cemetery, you can't help but remember everyone who has paid a price for your freedom, for my freedom. They've paid a price for this nation. I got to tell you, that cuts to the heart. If you've never been to the National Cemetery and you get the opportunity to go, I encourage you to go. And by the way, there are multiple national cemeteries scattered throughout the country. There's one not far from here in Elwood, Illinois, Lincoln National Cemetery. But to be at Arlington and to experience that, and it's incredible. It really is incredible. Whether war is long or short, whether it's fought on foreign soil or our own soil, as we've recently learned is very possible, whether we walk away screaming victory or in some way realizing defeat, each of the wars that we've been involved in as a nation has shaped and formed us into who we are today. They've all had a part in playing into that role. They've had their place in history, and they've strengthened us, quite honestly, in some way. Some gave us freedom. Some saw that freedom extended. Some taught us to keep our defenses up. Still others reminded us to remain unified. All those things you can learn just by thinking about war. So we may not like it, but it's been around for a long time, and we can learn from it. We can even find freedom in it. Let me share with you quickly about one of the memorials that I visited, and I've been there again a couple of times, and I enjoy this particular memorial. It's one that I'm going to say sticks out to me, and you'll maybe understand that in a minute. It's a statue that is dedicated to the United States Marines. It's a memorial that depicts the raising of the American flag at Iwo Jima. It's an incredibly famous photo that was taken, and of course the memorial was created in that image. This memorial as a whole is not just for those that have served in World War II, but it's for anybody who has served as a United States Marine since its very founding. But the last time that I was there, something jumped out at me. I noticed something on that memorial that either wasn't there before, or I hadn't noticed before, or whatever the case might be. But on one of those marble sides of that memorial, there was two missing dates. There was an inscription on there that read, Afghanistan, 2001 to blank. Iraq, 2003 to blank. Why was that significant? Because that reminded me that war is still happening today. That war is still being fought today. We might not be engaged in some incredibly blown up, you know, war at this moment in our history, but war is still being fought today. People are still standing up for our freedom today. All of this thought of war and battles and victories and defeat historically and currently, and all of this reminds me that we're still facing war ourselves today. And it's a war that we are warned about in Scripture. One that we are told to be ready for. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." I have a news flash for us this morning. We are at war. Plain and simple. When I say we, I'm not talking about the state, the country. I'm talking about we. You and I. This church, the church of Jesus Christ as a whole, we are at war. It's not a physical war. It's not a war to claim or divide up some property or establish a new nation. But it is a very divisive war. And a war that is very real. I believe we've seen that pretty clearly in the last couple of years. There's been a lot to show us that this war exists. It's still a war of freedom. Different kind of freedom, but it's a war of freedom nonetheless. It's a war where we have to gain victory over our enemy. And it's not just fought for ourselves, but it's fought for generations to come. Generations upon generations. Understand, folks, we are absolutely engaged in frontline combat. And it is combat that is going to be long and tiring and take a lot of strength. It's simple truth. I know, we don't like to hear that, but it's simple truth this morning. This is not a remote war that we can use a few buttons or a joystick and, you know, fight from hundreds of miles away. This is a war that we stand in the epicenter of. We are engaged in it constantly. We need to be at the ready, as they would say. This combat, this battle that we are fighting demands our complete allegiance and commitment to the cause. Not a half-hearted thing, but a complete, total commitment. Let me just pause for 1 second here this morning. I want to be perfectly clear about something. I have a tremendous respect for our military. For those who have ever served our nation's military, thank you for your service. For those of you that are currently serving today, thank you for your service. Nothing that I say this morning is meant to take away from what you did or the sacrifice you made this morning. Nor do I intend to make light of it. I am proud to be one of your brothers in Christ and to be one of your fellow Americans, and the fact that you have stood up for this nation is huge to me. But I want us to understand just how real this spiritual warfare that we are all engaged in is about as well. There are many different battles that we face and will face. They are some greater than others, some not as difficult. Dare I say sometimes some seem easier than others. I almost hate to use those words. We are involved in different kinds of battles all the time. Our biggest problem about spiritual warfare is that we don't believe it's real. That's our biggest problem. We don't accept its reality. I can't see it. I can't touch it. I don't know what's happening with it, so therefore it doesn't exist. When's the last time you saw the air you breathe? It's not there. You can't see it. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Spiritual warfare is real. Satan is real. He was cast down from heaven. He was thrown out because of his pride and his arrogance. He has become the ruler of this earth or this kingdom, at least for a time, or so he thinks. Bottom line is, he is our enemy, and he is constantly coming at us. He is constantly attacking us, and he will never stop until Jesus takes us home, or until Jesus returns. This war will go on and on. There won't be an end date. That inscription, that engraving will never take place, because it's going to happen until the end of time, until Jesus returns or calls us home. But just because you don't see the battle doesn't mean the battle's not raging around you. 2 Kings gives us a glimpse of this unseen battle, this unseen war. Let me just set the stage just a tiny bit here for you. There's a king called Aram, and he was at war with Israel. He had all kinds of plans. He was going to attack. He was going to do all these different things. But there was this guy who kept interfering with his plans, this guy named Elisha. He's a prophet. God kept saying, hey, this guy's going to do this, so you know this is what you need to do. He kind of kept giving him the inside scoop. And Elisha was interfering with that, with King Aram's plan. So Aram said, well, then I'll kill Elisha, and he won't be able to interfere with my plan anymore. When he found Elisha, he encircled the city that Elisha was in. And in his mind, I've got it. We're done. This is over. I'm good. I'll be able to move forward now. At daybreak, Elisha's servant went out and saw the military surrounding the city, and he went, uh-oh. Instant panic mode. He was afraid. He was scared. He went back in and said to Elisha, we got a problem. There's people all around out there. They're going to hurt us. Elisha says, no, they're not. 2 Kings chapter 6. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. The Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Folks, I'm a little bit crazy. I don't think that was a story. I don't think that's a metaphor. I don't think that's exaggeration. I think that happened exactly as it's described right there. I think this servant walked back out there, took another look, and went, cool. He was excited by what he saw. He was given a glimpse of that spiritual army that is real and does battle on our behalf, does battle for us. That very same army that helped out Elisha, that his servant saw, that God revealed, that very same army still exists today. They have not been decommissioned. They have not retired. They have not taken a leave of absence. That army still exists and still stands battle ready to help you and I, to protect us, to give us strength, to give us victory when we're in need of a victory. They still stand battle ready for the children of God. Spiritual warfare is real. Spiritual warfare comes in all different shapes and sizes. I mentioned earlier, sometimes that battle is a short battle and somewhat easy to maneuver. Again, I hate to even say that too loud. Other times it's a massive offensive that lasts for years and years and years and doesn't feel like it's ever going to end. It takes on all kinds of visions. It can come in the form of fear. It can come as anxiety. It can come as the loss of employment. It can be health-related issues, addictions, thoughts and desires. Spiritual warfare can rear its ugly head in just about any way imaginable. The list is endless as to how our enemy can and will attack. He sees our weaknesses. He knows where we struggle. And that's where he attacks us. He attacks us right there where we struggle most. So guess what? If you have a struggle in trusting, say like finances, guess what you're going to have a problem with? If you have an addiction, drugs, pornography, whatever it might be, guess where you're going to get attacked? If fear tends to rear its ugly head in your life, that's not by coincidence. The enemy sees your weakness and he attacks at that level. And his goal, never forget this, we've talked about this before, but I'm going to say it again. He has one goal, the enemy I'm talking about, Satan. He has one goal, and that is to destroy you, to destroy your life, to destroy my life. Scripture very clearly tells us, John 10:10, Jesus speaks these words, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He doesn't come to make you feel bad. He doesn't come to make you a little uncomfortable. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's what he's out to do. And he uses spiritual warfare to make that happen against us. Author and teacher John Piper has said it this way before. One of the most sobering facts about life is that all humans have a supernatural enemy whose aim is to use pain and pleasure to make us blind, stupid, and miserable forever. We need to wake up, folks. We need to stop thinking that we are not affected by this war that is raging around us, even at this very hour. Yes, Jesus came and died on the cross and physically rose again 3 days later. Jesus, yes, has created that once and for all victory for every single one of us. He has done that work. And the ultimate end game is we win. But between now and then, we will be involved in a series of battles. Some that we fight every single day. If anybody has told you that when you accept Christ, your walk will be easy and simple, they lied. Flat out, they lied. That is not the case. Battle is a part of our walk here on earth. It's a part of our lives. It's a part of our growing process. It's a part of maturing in Christ, believe it or not. That's why James told us what he told us in his word, in his book. When we are tempted, we ought to consider it pure joy, because what happens? We're built up. We learn to persevere. We mature in our walk with Christ. So those things happen for a reason, and there is, believe it or not, good things that can happen through those. You don't believe it? Read the book of Job sometime. Good things can come through that battle. We need to pray, folks. We need to pray that our eyes will be open to the spiritual forces at work in this physical world. Do you realize, I hope this isn't a newsflash, but do you know you can pray that same prayer that Elisha prayed? You can. That was not reserved for him alone. That was not reserved for somebody deemed prophet. That's in Scripture, and you can pray that same prayer that Elisha prayed. open my eyes and help me see. Let me see those that are here, that are working with me, that are helping me through this. Show me, God, your army that is going to take down this intense battle that I am feeling or dealing with right now. We're not called to walk around in fear. We're not called to walk around drowning in anxiety. We are called to stand firm in the Lord, to draw on Him for our strength and for our endurance. In fact, Jesus Himself told us to seek Him when it comes to being victorious in spiritual warfare. You don't believe me? Matthew 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus says the enemy is going to come after you, but when he does, call on me. I'll give you a hand. I'll help you. I'll make sure that we get through this together. Isn't that incredible? God, the creator of all things, says, just reach out, I'm there. You're struggling with fear or lust or anxiety or whatever it is, just reach out. I've got a whole army of angels waiting to help you. At a single word, I can dispatch as many as I need to, and they'll be with you to walk through it. They'll help you get past that diagnosis you just got, or that job you just lost, or the foreclosure that you're facing. They'll help you walk through every bit of that. All you got to do is ask. Prayer is an essential part of our victory. I cannot stress that enough. Prayer is absolutely important. Absolutely important. Jesus walked this earth, right? Jesus left His heavenly home. He came to this earth, and hopefully we understand Jesus was not only divine, but He was human. He was human. And in that human nature, He too fought spiritual warfare. He too fought a battle. Remember when He went into the desert and the devil came to Him and tried to tempt Him? Hey, throw yourself down from here. Hey, turn this bread into stones. Hey, bow down and worship me. Hey, do all these different things. That was spiritual warfare, folks. The enemy was waging war against the Son of God. And Jesus said, no. He stood firm and said, no, that's not how this works. God will give me strength. My Father will help me through. I will not bow to you, but trust in my Father and every single word that He has written. Jesus Himself faced battle. So He knows exactly what we're going through. You can never say, oh, Jesus, you just don't understand. He does. He gets it. And if the devil was willing to attack the Son of God, if he had the gall to attempt to pull Jesus down through this spiritual warfare, what in the world makes you think he's going to leave you alone? He's not going to leave me alone. He's going to attack me just as much as he attacked the Son of God. Because I'm made in his image. I'm one of his children. I call him my Lord. Spiritual warfare is not a game to be taken lightly, folks. It's not like Fortnite or Call of Duty where we can hit the reset button and try again. Spiritual warfare is a serious issue, and it has lasting, eternal consequences. Consequences that don't just affect you and I, but affect generation after generation after generation that follows us. My engagement in spiritual battle has an effect on my kids and my grandkids and their kids and so on. It makes a difference for generations. Why this emphasis, Pastor Kurt? Why this emphasis on spiritual warfare today? Why? Because it's raging all around us. I think the battle is maybe more intense now than it has ever been. Just take a minute and think about what's going on in society today. relative truth, cancel culture, sexual inclusion. Think about all this stuff that is going on. How can we continue to ignore all of that? Our families are being attacked. Our marriages are being attacked. Our kids are being attacked. The law and the social agenda of our nation is being driven by Satan himself. And we have to stop and ask, what, if anything, what are we doing to stand against that? The households of the people around us are coming apart at the seams. Truthfully, honestly, we as a church, as a family, are being hit with multiple issues day after day. And I got to tell you, folks, if we are not ready for the battle, if we are not ready for the battle, we're going to fall. We're going to fall. And unfortunately, we're going to fall hard if we're not ready. No branch of our military is ever, ever without a plan. No division or company ever arrives at the battleground without being trained and taught and prepared. Anyone that has ever seen any kind of active duty quickly understands the serious life and death situation that they find themselves in. As believers in Jesus Christ, we need to understand those very same things. We cannot believe in, we cannot trust in, we cannot stand on what the world tells us to stand on. We have got to learn to stand on the Word of God. We've got to learn to stand on its truths and its truths alone, not our interpretation of them, not our opinion of them, but the truth of the Word of God. We have to understand without hesitation, without a second thought, we have to understand that the battle rages around us every day and is very, very real. And we have to plan purposely to be engaged in that battle because our involvement is critical. Not just for ourselves, but for many, many others. You'll have to pardon me if I seem incredibly negative this morning. That is definitely not my intention here. And I absolutely want to tell you that we have hope, right? We have hope. I mentioned it earlier. Jesus is at the ready. He's willing to stand with you, to walk with you, to comfort you. He is our hope and our strength. As real as spiritual warfare is, there's also a battle plan for us to follow. It's been drawn up for us. We don't need to rethink it. We don't need to sit down and try to come up with an action plan. It has been written for us. And it's a battle plan that won't fail. It's a battle plan that will leave us victorious. Scripture gives us instruction after instruction that we need to be victorious in this battle. Praying, fasting, putting on the armor of God, seeking His kingdom first. All of those things, just to name a couple of quick items, are there for our benefit so that we can be ready. Because the bottom line, folks, is we have got to learn to be battle ready. If we are not battle ready, it's going to be a problem. Personally, as a family, as a church, if we're not ready, it's going to be an issue. So we've got to learn to be battle ready. War is a part of our lives. But how we fight that war can make a difference. How we choose to battle can make a difference. Stop for a minute, and if you want to think about it this way, ask yourself, what will your war memorial someday look like? What will be your battle story, your plan? Will generations to come stand in awe at what you have done? Will they revisit that memorial? Will they go back to it and say, look what mom, dad, grandpa, uncles, so on and so forth do. Look at this incredible memorial that they set up for me to remember. Look at this incredible battle that they not only took part in, but they were victorious in. There's only one way. There's only one way for us to be victorious in that battle plan. It's to walk with Jesus and to be battle ready. Father, I come before you this morning and I just thank you. I thank you that the plan has already been written. The instructions have already been printed. Everything we need to know sits before us. I thank you for that, Lord. I pray, Father God, you would help us to read that plan. I help us pray that you would help us to take to heart that plan, put it into action. God, I pray that you would indeed open our eyes and let us truly see that battle that is raging around us and how we need to be involved in it. What we need to do, what is the goal, the part, the agenda that you have for us in this battle plan, and how can we be used by you to see victory, not only for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, teach us. Lord, show us. Lord, help us to understand the importance of fighting this fight day after day after day. In Jesus' name, amen.